This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Nicola Scott, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
24-hour running LGBTIQ station.
Oh, cool.
In Australia. Probably the second in the world that can run, has the ability to run 24 hours as well. So, yes. So one of the few. Niche within a niche.
Yes.
Now I'm embarrassed because I am terrible. I'm from New Zealand. Can't be blamed. I'm just not good with family names in some
sense. Fadjo.
It is Fadjo. I wasn't sure if it was a silent J.
Well, it would be in Spain.
But yes,
in California, so. It's not.
So the California pronunciation is Fadjo.
Fadjo.
Fadjo. Uh-huh. Cool. Lolita, I can handle that. So I'll just do the intro. That's great.
Okay.
Thank you. Sonia from Sci-Fi and Scream with Tim.
Hi.
And this is quite a wonderful day. We're here in Melbourne. It's a little bit cold, but certainly a friendly because it's Oz Comic Con weekend. It's starting. It's Friday, but big day tomorrow and Sunday. And we're speaking to one of the fabulous guests that are and talent that is over here in Melbourne town. It's Lolita Fadjo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here again with Oz Comic Con.
All right, so it's not the first time then?
No, it's not the first time I've been to Australia for a convention. I believe this is the fifth trip I've made.
Excellent.
Quite a few years ago with a different group other than Oz Comic Con.
Okay, but the first time with the Oz crowd?
Not this time, no. Mm-hmm. I've been to Sydney, Melbourne before, Perth and Adelaide.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so and how has that experience been so far?
This weekend or in general?
In general?
Oh, in general, it's been wonderful. Mm. They treat everybody very, very well. And it's a lot of fun to get the chance to come over here.
Yeah. So. And I guess also catching up with some people that you've worked in the States in the past. And do you come across?
Well, absolutely. I come now not as just a guest, but as a manager. So I manage a lot of the actors that come from Star Trek.
Okay.
So we travel the world a lot together. So this weekend I'm here with Max Rudenchik,
yes,
played Rom, and Aaron Eisenberg, who played Nog, and Tori Higginson from Stargate Atlantis. So, yes, it's fun.
Yeah. So it's a bit like a family trip, a reunion all in one.
Absolutely. It's always a good reunion.
Now, for the Star Trek world and Star Trek verse, of course, most people would probably recognize you from Deep Space Nine and the success of that. But like you said, you've got a real involvement in those shows and production side. What can you tell us about that?
Well, actually, I worked for 15 years as the script coordinator. Mm-hmm. So I worked on The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, and the first two Next Generation movies. So, it was a long 15 years, but a good one. So.
Now, it's probably hard to ask, but what would be one of the highlights? Was it the working more with the films or the TV series? Could you choose, do you think?
All of it was a good experience. It's all a lot of hard work, but as a series, Deep Space Nine was my favorite show and my favorite to work on.
Mm-hmm. Any reason in particular? Or?
I don't know. It's hard to say, except that I really think that show was the best in from the writing point of view.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And because it didn't just have seven main characters and a few recurring characters. It had seven main characters and 20 or 25 recurring characters who the writers really developed. Mm. And so you really got to know those characters as well.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, if you just look at how life is itself, purely how people come and go in your own sort of background and life and experiences, it's remarkable how a Deep Space Nine was able to reflect that, I think, especially the times during the 90s and the times it went through.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Mm. I think it was very reflective of the times, even though it was set in the future.
Yeah, I think so. And so for a lot of our sort of listeners who are definitely big Trek fans and the series Next Gen, of course, and of course Voyager, Deep Space Nine, the sort of subtext, I guess, for a lot of the characters and some of the LGBTIQ, did you have any involvement in that side of things, storyline-wise?
A little bit. I mean, I was the script coordinator, so I wasn't a writer. But I had a lot to do with following the continuity of each and every script and timelines and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And now, currently, what are you working on? I mean, you're an agent or you represent people?
I don't work in Hollywood anymore.
Oh, okay.
I don't work for in production, but I do manage the actors, and we go all around the world doing These kind of things.
Now, speaking of conventions and just that experience, what would have been one of the most perhaps memorable conventions? Anything out of the ordinary?
Well, I can tell you that in a heartbeat. when I was working on the show Next Generation a long time ago, I also was running conventions. I had my own convention company with a couple of the other writers from the show. And it was for The Next Generation, the first movie called Generations. For the premiere in London, we threw a convention at the Royal Albert Hall, which is like the epitome of places to be on stage. And so myself and a coworker, we were the MCs, and we had the entire cast of The Next Generation there and William Shatner. And it was just for me as an actress to be on that stage and seeing that event was amazing. And this was early on, even though the series had been on 7 years, but to see at the time Patrick Stewart, who was still, you know, he still wasn't the megastar he is now, even then, and Marina Sirtis, who, you know, grew up in this little, you know, town in England, to just see them be so moved by being on that stage and everyone else. So that was by far the biggest highlight of my career.
I mean, the amount of geeks in Britain, and I think probably because, not saying English people or British people force-fed, but Doctor Who's one of the longest-running, almost continually longest-running science fiction shows, kind of brought up on it. Do you think that had an influence on the popularity in the UK?
Maybe, but it was, you know, back then Next Generation was popular everywhere. I mean, we were doing shows all over the world. So it just happened that we kind of honed the market in doing the premiere to do this convention at the same time.
What do you think is the secret, in your opinion? I mean, you've got that background as an actor as well as being involved in the storyline, the continuity, the production side of things. What's the secret to its longevity, the love of the Star Trek verse?
Well, I think that all has to go back to Gene Roddenberry and the world he created, and the fact that so many good writers really took heart and wanted to, you know, keep his vision going.
And he was, a groundbreaker, first interracial smooch kiss on TV, and having so many diverse characters. And it certainly has been wonderful to see that change and transpire through the I was going to say centuries, but through the decades, it feels like a long time. Now, your opinion on the, I guess they're not reboots as such, but the new films, what do you think of those?
I think they're entertaining. I don't think they are as much of Gene Roddenberry's vision as they could be, but I think that maybe the people that have done them don't really care about that. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
I just think that
they take it in a different way.
Yeah.
And maybe something will change again and we'll have another reboot, so to speak.
A reboot on the reboot, but like the Spider-Man verse that's happening, of course. Now, for yourself, is there any episode that you're really, really proud of and stands out for you in your memory for either Voyager or Deep Space Nine?
Well, there's a lot of them, but I would have to say probably the last episode of Deep Space Nine.
Why is that?
Well, it was just a very...
Apart from being the last episode.
Yeah, well, the difference between the end of Next Generation and Deep Space Nine was we knew the Next Generation, we were going to do movies.
Yeah.
There was no goodbye, see you later after 7 years. That didn't stop for a long time. Whereas with Deep Space Nine, it was finite. It was done. The sets were down. That last days of shooting, the only thing that was left was Vic's lounge. Everything else was gone. So it was very moving to be part of that.
Which brings us to a question: would it ever be rebooted itself? Has that been something? Would that ever some
expensive.
It's not even in Canada? No,
I doubt it. No, I mean, you can ask Ira Stephen Bear, who was the producer for so long, and it just won't happen.
Fair enough. Now, for your acting side of your talents and skills, do you do a lot of, you know, performance these days? Or
No, only at conventions.
Okay. I hear there's going to be a Ferengi sort of number. Is that correct?
Well,
is that correct?
Yeah, that's with Max and Aaron in their Ferengi makeup and original costumes, yeah.
Are you going to be taking part?
No, I just watch from the sidelines.
Make sure they stay in control and character.
Yes, exactly.
Now, with the guys, that relationship, and does it feel like a family now, like the way you all get along?
Absolutely, yeah. No, there's especially the Deep Space Nine actors. They're all, a lot of them are very close outside of the convention world, but when they get together at conventions, it's like they see each other all the time.
Yeah, that must be special.
Yeah,
very special. And like talking to you, I mean, I'm just printing out the other day, just your CV. It's just overwhelming, fantastic. All right, I need to wind it up. So, look, it's been fabulous talking to you, Lolita Fadjo. Thank you so much. I wondered if it was all right for you to do a station ID, if that's okay. Okay, so it's Sci-Fi and Scream.
Scream.
That's a bit queasy. On, that's the horror aspect, on Joy 94.9. All right.
Okay,
so can read that, okay?
Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 949 or 949?
Oh, should we put a dot? I'll just do a dot or...
So 94.9,
yes.
Gotcha.
Thank
okay.
you. That's lovely.
And you want
obviously
me to
your
say
name.
My name or something?
Yeah.
So like, what would you like me to say? This is the Fadjo.
Yeah, Fadjo, the woman that did everything. Deep Space Nine, Voyager.
Okay.
I'm sure you're... Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is Lolita Fadjo, script coordinator for Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, and I'm here today with Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Lovely. Tim was a nice silent partner.
Thank you.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.